Amy Storm from the EPA Office of Brownfields and Land Revitalization to get things started. Amy?
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much, Jean. So pleased to have you all with us today. We are using this time to introduce you all, if you haven't already met them, to EPA's Brownfields Technical Assistance Partners. I am with EPA's Office of Brownfields and Land Revitalization, and in addition to grants and other technical assistance that we offer, we are able to fund several different organizations across the country that are, their job is to help you meet your brownfield challenges. And EPA funds these organizations through a grant, and their job is to help you all with some of these specific issues that you're encountering. So I'm really pleased. We only have an hour today, and I'm going to keep my remarks really brief, but I'm wanted to make sure you all know who these partners are and how they are ready and willing to work with you on your brownfield projects. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the New Jersey Institute of Technology, and then we're going to, that's our technical assistance to brownfield provider for EPA regions, communities in EPA's regions 1, 3, and 4. And then Blaise Levin will talk about the tribal technical assistance that's offered through Kansas State University. Kate Mangoya from Groundwork USA is going to talk about how her organization is able to support equitable development approaches at brownfield sites. Malcolm Guy is going to talk about brownfield funding and financing and how you can all take advantage of the learning opportunities through the Council of Development Finance Agencies. And finally, we're going to have Heather Ballou from the Hazardous Material Training and Research Institute talk about environmental workforce development and job training and how your community can get more involved with that. So as Jean said, please type your questions as they come in, and we will do our best to answer them. And from there, we will move on with our first presenter. So I'm going to introduce Sean Vroom. He is the director of the New Jersey Institute of Technology's Technical Assistance to Brownfield Communities Program. And he's going to explain what TAB is all about and how you can get in touch with them. So Sean, take it away.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for the introduction, and I'm very happy to be joining you all this morning. As Amy stated, my name is Sean Vroom, and I'm the Director of the Technical Assistance, the Brownfields Community Program, better known as TAB, here at the New Jersey Institute of Technology. So over the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to give you quickly give you the what, how, and the who of the NJIT TAB program. Next slide. So what is TAB? So TAB is it's a U.S. EPA grant-funded program, and it's intended to serve as an independent resource to state, regional, county, tribal, and local government and nonprofits that are interested in brownfields. There are three TAB providers across the country. There's Kansas State University, Center for Creative Land Recycling, and NJIT. Each one of us is responsible for various EPA regions. NJIT is responsible for regions 1, 3, and 4, and all of the assistance that we provide you is 100% free of charge. And the reason we can do that is EPA provides us with the grant monies, and we provide the communities with the services. Next slide, please. So who is the TAB team? The TAB team is comprised of planners, environmental scientists, and engineers, who can help get you through the brownfields identification, assessment, cleanup, and redevelopment processes. And our goal is to facilitate the redevelopment of brownfield sites with new and positive land uses that once again contribute to the community. And we do this by providing technical advice, strategic planning, and education. Next slide, please. So the team can provide you with assistance throughout the brownfields redevelopment process, from getting you started to keeping you on track to getting the job done. We always say it's easier to tell you what we don't do versus what we do do. We're not going to act as your environmental consultant, so we're not going to go out in the field and take samples. We're not going to analyze samples. We're not going to write your phase one report. We're not going to write your grant proposals. However, we can critique them. But outside of that, we have a wide range of services that we can provide, and as long as they're related to brownfields, we can get involved. The NJIT program is comprised of three components: our resource center, our educational forums, and our direct technical assistance. Next slide, please. So our resource center is basically comprised of our website, and you can visit our website. You can see the URL in the upper left-hand corner of the slide. And we've made great efforts to make this as user-friendly as possible so that you can navigate throughout all the information that we do have on the site. And there is a plethora of information and resources there from, you know, how to manage your brownfields project. We have a news and upcoming events page that we keep current on events that we're going to be participating in and others that we are not, that you should, we feel that you should be made aware of. There's federal and state funding sources listed there, key state and EPA contacts, any previously recorded webinars. We have a suite of tools, including a green stormwater infrastructure decision tree. So lots of information there. I do recommend that you visit it, and you can also follow us on Twitter. Next slide, please. And then the second component of our program is our educational forums, and this conferences, workshops, seminars, brownfield boot camps, and webinars. The conferences that we attend are national, they're regional in scope. We participate in pre-conference workshops, learning labs, panel sessions. We conduct office hours. We also conduct workshops, which are a 2 to 4 hour interactive sessions that cover a little bit broader topical matters such as Brownfields 101, you know, tips for preparing a successful grant. Then we have the seminars we conduct, which are a deeper dive into a specific brownfield-related topic, and that may include something like mill redevelopment, environmental liability, brownfields for bankers, things of that nature. And then we have our boot camps, which are a more intensive deep dive, and those are typically a half to full day event. And in the past, we've done events that focused on green stormwater infrastructure on brownfields, creative placemaking, as well as a more intense grant writing where we'll actually review grants prior to the boot camp and then provide comments and then sit down and do a one-on-one with the applicants. And then we do webinars such as this one. We also conduct our own. You know, we've done them in the past on the Build Act, Remediation 101, how to get the right contractor on board, and community engagement for brownfields. Next slide, please. So the last element of our program is the direct technical assistance, and this is the stuff we really love to get involved in, and it can include a wide range of services from a simple phone call where you have a question, you'll call in, hopefully be able to answer that question or get you in touch with the right person, to much more in-depth in the trenches kind of assistance and involvement by NJIT TAB. And all that assistance we tailor to each community's specific set of needs. Next slide, please. So some examples of the direct technical assistance that we've conducted and can conduct is community engagement. That may include, you know, visioning workshops, getting involved with the community and identifying assets and needs in a target area, environmental justice roundtables and forums. Next slide, please. We can also help you prioritize your brownfields. We can help you develop prioritization criteria that are focused on the goals that you overall want to achieve. We can then put your sites through this prioritization criteria to help you identify kind of the low-hanging fruit, so you'll have this ranked list of projects. And then we can also work with you to help identify some potential reuses on those sites. Next slide, please. And then we can also review technical documents. So if you get a phase one or a phase two report or an air quality analysis, you're not sure exactly what it says, we can interpret that information for you. We can also come to your community and explain it to your stakeholders as well. As I stated earlier, we won't write your brownfield grant, but we do give critiques, and we do that in the cycle of EPA's brownfields grant solicitation cycle. And then we can also sit and work with you and help you develop a brownfields redevelopment roadmap. Next slide, please. So those are some of the examples of the technical assistance. So who can receive NJIT TAB assistance? Local, state, regional, and tribal government entities are all eligible, as are nonprofits. We can work with universities as well. Next slide, please. And so how do you get this assistance? You basically can, you just call our hotline, or you can email us at tab@njit.edu. It's a simple phone call or a simple email. We'll start that conversation, see what we can do and where we can plug ourselves into your particular set of circumstances. I also included my contact information. If you'd like, you can contact me directly. There's no formal process for you to receive assistance. It's simply us having a discussion on the phone or through email. It is on a first-come, first-served basis, but I can tell you in the past we have never turned anybody away. Sometimes we just have to get a little bit more creative with how we schedule our assistance efforts. And I think with that, I'll turn it back over to Amy.
John, thank you. Excellent. And thanks for getting all that information out. Yes, please, folks, take note of this. Take note of this contact info, but you can also reference it later in the slides. And reach out to NJIT with your brownfield questions. Cool. So that was TAB for EPA regions, communities in EPA's regions 1, 3, and 4. Now I'm going to have Blaise Levin talk with you all about the tribal technical assistance that's also available to tribal communities. So Blaise Levin is the director of the Center for Hazardous Substance Research and the Technical Assistance to Brownfields Programs at Kansas State University. So take it away, Blaise.
Thanks, Amy, and hello, everyone, and congratulations to the new grantees out there. I'll be talking about a number of national TAB, Technical Assistance to Brownfields things that are coordinated and led out of Kansas State University, but very much a collaboration with Sean's group at NJIT TAB and with the Center for Creative Land Recycling. And this is a listing of those things. Looks like I need to get the pointer to work for me, please. Need access to that. There we go. So we do a series of national workshops and webinars that include tribal topics, but also include non-tribal topics. We've host a number of e-tools, and I'll talk specifically about the Brownfields Inventory tool and mobile phone app, as that may be most relevant to new grantees and tribes. And then we also host and coordinate the Tribal TAB program. And so with respect to workshops and webinars on a national basis, they range in topics from brownfields basics all the way up to more complex topics such as leveraging resources and redevelopment planning in a tribal context. We show up big to national conferences and do these workshops, particularly to the Brownfields Conference, like the one coming up in December in Los Angeles, and one that's next month, the Tribal Lands and Environment Forum. And you'll see, and we'll send out some communications to many of you who I think are registered on one of the TAB websites, any one of them. You'll find out about these things that we do. And one in particular I want to point out is the Redevelopment Roundtables type of workshop we do, which basically is kind of like a friendly Shark Tank where individuals like you show up with projects that, maybe you're stuck somewhere or you want to showcase what you're doing. You pitch your project and a panel of experts from our different TABs and other partners we have critique and provide useful advice. So that's something you may look out for and you can apply for the upcoming Brownfields Conference. Something I'd like to call out to new grantees is we have a new grantee webinar series. In fact, tomorrow Thursday, we're doing one on Community Engagement 101, which is sometimes kind of an overlooked topic, but super, super critical to correctly implementing MARC grants and also just necessary for a viable Brownfields program. If you're a new grantee, we did some earlier webinars that you may really want to check out, like First Things First. It talks about how to set up your accounts with EPA so that you can draw funds and, you know, do the administrative side of things, as well as other topics. So I really encourage you, if you're a new grantee, to take a look at that. And whether you're a new grantee or not, really encourage you to attend this Community Engagement 101. It's really going to be good. I have to say we've got some really good presenters helping with that. With respect to e-tools, the Brownfields Inventory Tool is something many new grantees as well as seasoned grantees or Brownfields practitioners like to use. It is an internal database, the web-based database, but it's internal to you. You set up your own account. You can share with who you want to share with, but it's not public-facing. It allows you to survey and inventory sites and all kinds of data associated with those sites. And you can upload photos and documents, generate maps. And it's at the website you see here. And let's see. Something's not advancing. Here we go. Oh, we got all kinds of features I forgot about. Okay. If you're a tribe, and apologize for the, looks like there's some formatting problems when this went to PDF, but if you're a tribe and or a city that and you do some oversight and enforcement, say as part of your 128A program, there you can store data related to that as well in BIT, so that's useful. There's a browser version, you know, a web browser version that you use on your desktop or laptop. That has an interface with ACRES, so your data in BIT, which is all your data, it can include any kind of Brownfields data, even some you wouldn't be reporting to ACRES, but you can selectively report things you do want to report to ACRES through that interface. We have recently completed and released the mobile BIT app, which works online or offline. So if you're in remote areas, you still can collect site data out and about, and then it syncs with the server eventually and is available on your browser version as well. You can get it on the Google Play Store or the App Store. And what's nice about that is, again, when you're out and about or when your colleagues are out and about, they can collect GPS coordinates, photos, and more. And again, you can do this in remote locations. You don't need a good cell connection with data or an internet. So that's pretty handy. Oops, clicking all over the place here. So, I need one more thing. So as Sean mentioned, also these websites are also just for each tab are very useful for different reasons. The K-State website also has TabEZ, a grant writing web tool that you may know all about if you used it to write your successful MARC grant this last go-round. It's on there, and you can use that to apply for successive rounds in successive competitions next year, so let's say. Okay. Another web tool we have that's part of the Tribal Tab program is called the Tribal Environmental Forum, Tribal Brownfields Forum. It's at this website. It's for tribal environmental professionals for peer learning and networking. It is kind of a tribes-only thing, but if you work with tribes, let's say, a lot, you can get involved as well. But basically how you get involved is you go to this website, you can look. There's a demo you can view, and you click the Get Involved button and fill out some things, and we let you in. Information on that website is organized kind of how you see here on the right side of the screen in different topics that are relevant to tribes and 128A grantees. It also includes information on 104K grants, so it is relevant to that as well. And with that, I'll segue into the tribal tab activities we do. I'll have to let the organizers know I'm in a full screen mode and I can't see how much time I have left, so if I'm running late, just give me a 2 or 1 minute
yep.
warning.
Blaze, this is Amy. You are at right at 8 minutes. So
okay, great. Minutes. I'm about done. Here we go. So tribal tab, it involves many of the things Sean was talking about in the regular tabs as far as technical assistance goes and workshops. The difference is that it's national and it involves tribal entities and professionals. But it provides free help with planning, environmental and economic development expertise, and it's coordinated through tribal response program and brownfields coordinators. Okay, the one-on-one assistance is quite similar to what Sean talked about for non-tribal communities. That includes workshops, and again, one of the differences is the tribes co-host and co-organize and co-present at these events, at these workshops. This is a laundry list of the topics we work with tribes to organize workshops around. And with that, I'll kind of point out that Scott Nightingale is our National Tribal Tab Coordinator, and you can reach him or me with any questions you have, and we'll get you connected and going. So with that, that's it for me, and I'll turn it back to Amy.
Blaze, thank you so much. We did have one quick question come in, which I want to just have you address. The question was, is there a fee for using any of these tools?
No, great question. And there is no fee. All of this is funded through EPA grants that we competed for. And so as Sean said, it's free. It's free to the communities we assist. And again, we're the point of contact for that. If you have any questions on how to use that,
great.
Use those
Thank
tools.
You. Thanks, Blaze.
You bet.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, we are going to move on to our third TA provider, but I do invite folks to continue to send in questions or thoughts, and we will address them as we can. So now we're going to move to Groundwork USA, and Groundwork USA has a grant from EPA's Brownfields and Land Revitalization Program to support communities as they try to include equitable development approaches in their projects. And so Kate Mingoya is going to talk with us. Kate is the Director of Capacity Building for Groundwork USA. Take it away, Kate.
Thank you so much, Amy. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for being with us today, and a big thank you to Amy for organizing this webinar. I'm Kate, Groundwork USA's Director of Capacity Building. And during my presentation, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Groundwork USA and the work that we do, discuss at a high level our technical assistance offerings, introduce you to some ready-to-roll tools and resources that you can download and implement today, and then finish it up with a discussion around our one-on-one client technical assistance program. So Groundwork USA, a little bit about us. We're a people-centered environmental organization that sees a very strong connection between the built environment, how it's used, and one's well-being. Groundwork USA is connected to brownfield work in a couple ways. First, through our EPA funding. Over the past Our main focus about the past 20 years or so has been changing places through the transformation of underutilized and contaminated lands into community assets, things like parks and urban farms and trails, changing lives through robust youth and youth adult education, workforce development, and environmental stewardship, and changing systems by building capacity in our community so that they can develop and lead their own visions for their community. And we're connected to brownfield work in a couple ways. We have our EPA funding, which is what we're here chatting about today. And over the past 4.5 years, we've provided free equitable development technical assistance and training for communities that are working with brownfields. So from Buffalo, New York, to Baltimore, Maryland, from Salt Lake City, Utah, to Santa Clara Pueblo in New Mexico, we've gotten to work with a variety of municipalities, nonprofits, community groups, state offices, and mixed groups to develop community engagement action plans, deliver trainings on equitable development and environmental justice, draft logic models, and a whole host of other community-specific projects that I'll talk more about a little bit later. Additionally, we are part of a network of 20 trusts around the country, many of whom do brownfield work, so restoring spaces and public assets like urban farms, community gardens, education spaces, et cetera. So I encourage you to hop online if you get the chance and see if there's a groundwork trust near you that might be doing parallel work. So you might have a couple questions. We at Groundwork have been funded by the EPA to offer tools and resources related to equitable development, but you might be wondering, what is equitable development? Why does it matter? And how will pursuing it benefit my community and my brownfield project? And if I do want to pursue some equitable development process within the redevelopment of my parcel, how can Groundwork USA help me to do that? Well, at a really high level, the way that Groundwork USA interprets equitable development is that the community realizes the benefits of any redevelopment effort. So whatever is going to be put on that site, once it's cleaned up or it's capped, when it's ready for reuse, that use has to meet and respond to the needs of the community. And we take a really broad definition of need here. So your community might have a recreational need that would benefit from putting a park or activity center on the site. They might have a social and cultural need, like a community center or a place for public gatherings. There might be a financial need in your community, so you might consider placing a farmer's market or small-scale manufacturing to bring jobs to the community. Or there might be environmental needs, so maybe your community struggles with extreme heat or flooding, in which case your site might be a good location for some green infrastructure. So the big idea is, or the punchline is, that whatever is built on that site should respond to community needs. But you're not going to be able to figure out what those community needs are until you speak with them and involve them in a robust and meaningful engagement process. We believe that those meaningful engagement processes lead to wiser, stronger, and more stable solutions. Some of the other reasons why equitable development is important is that it helps to write a history of injustice. Most brownfield-affected communities didn't get that way by accident, and there's often a long and painful history of contaminants being placed in lower-income communities or communities of color. And finally, focusing on equitable development allows you to be in deep contact with residents and stakeholders and really get to the bottom of what their needs are from the ground up. So what resources do we have to help you in your brownfields project that you can download from groundworkusa.org and work with today? Well, if you haven't gone through the process of transforming a brownfield site into a community asset before, we do have our Brownfields to Parks Guide, which is a step-by-step tour through the process from site acquisition to stakeholder engagement, and talks about how to keep folks involved for the long haul. We also have a lot of materials on meaningful community engagement that centers equity and justice, such as our trauma-informed equitable development white paper, which explores how to work towards equitable development if your community is dealt with trauma, things like gun violence, poverty, or food insecurity. Many of our tools and resources also center around how to get a really broad coalition of residents and stakeholders to the table and how to keep them there and actively involved. Because as we know, brownfield projects, they're not a week-long affair. They can sometimes take years, and you want to have some pointers about how to best keep folks in it and engage for the long haul from beginning to end. Finally, I'm a really big believer that robust community engagement has to be intergenerational. If you've got adults in your community engaged and developing ideas at your community meetings, that's fantastic. And there's also a great opportunity to pull in community elders and youth to the table. So our Neighborhood Voices curriculum, for example, is one of those tools that we have to help you develop an intergenerational strategy. The community engagement strategy that centers youth and walks you through how to work with them to build a vision for the brownfield site and engage diverse members of your community. We also have a couple of one-pagers that sketch out action plans and best practices for meaningful equity-focused community engagement on our website. So this is just a really small taste of the materials that we have that are ready to download today. So head to the Technical Assistance Services tab on our webpage and you'll find a lot more resources there for you. So in addition to all those great resources that we've developed over the years, we also offer a one-on-one technical assistance program that's funded through September of 2020. And you might not need any of the tools and resources or understand how to best roll them out in your community, but you might want someone to help tailor a technical assistance to your need or help you strategize and figure out what gaps you have. So from Fresno, I mentioned earlier, from Fresno to Buffalo, all across the country, we've worked with municipalities, nonprofits, community groups, state agencies, et cetera, on current or proposed brownfield projects. Here are some of the examples, just to give you a sense, because it's a little hard to describe sort of how do you bring equity work to life, because it looks so different in other community, in each community. But here's some examples of what we've done with some of our 32 clients across the past few years. We've helped folks to develop community engagement and visioning action plans. We've developed creative community-specific ideas for meaningful community engagement and stakeholder development, answering that perennial question of how do you get folks to show up? How do you get them to support your work? How do you get them to stay engaged for the long haul? We've helped people strategize around stakeholder interactions. Do you have a steering committee? How do you put one together? How do you organize it and keep it on track? What's the purpose of a steering committee in a brownfields project, especially when you're thinking about equitable development? We've helped folks develop theories of change and logic models, reviewed and given feedback on community benefits agreements, offered trainings that introduce staff and community members to the concept of brownfields and community engagement strategies and stakeholder development. We can teach you and your colleagues about the brownfields community asset process. How do you do that from starting to engage folks, develop a community vision, think about how to fund it, and making sure that the final product really does meet the needs of those community members. And then also help you figure out and think about the scale and the pacing of your project as well. So those are just some examples from the clients we've worked with in recent years, but the heart of the work that we do is helping folks to approach development through an equity framework and develop concrete plans and strategies to pursue fair and just development of that land. So we're a relatively small team, but have a diverse set of interests and specialties, and I've listed a few below our photos here. Our engagements also vary pretty greatly in depth and length, and these can range from a few quick phone calls to answer questions and direct you to resources, or a larger engagement where we help you develop a concrete action plan to bring your community together and build a common vision for that site's development. So you might have an idea from this. Some of this may have resonated with you and you said, yes, I would love help with community engagement, or, I would love to discuss community benefits agreement. If so, be in touch, email me. My email's on the screen. You also might say, I'm intrigued or interested, but I don't quite know what help we need. I'm not quite sure what gaps we might have related to equitable development. That's great too. Email and give me an email. We're happy to hop on the phone and chat with you to see if we can help you bring an equitable development and justice-oriented framework to your work. So thank you folks so much. Please reach out, check out our website, groundworkusa.org, and send me an email at my address on the screen.
Thanks, Kate. Excellent. And for all of the speakers so far, everyone's been doing a great job sharing. And we know it's a bit of a fire hose situation, but, you know, take your time and think about what you need. And please, as Kate said, as everyone said, just reach out to folks and let them know where you're at and see how they can help you. Okay, we've got two more technical assistance opportunities to make sure you know about today. The fourth one is from the Council of Development Finance Agencies. And Malcolm Guy is the coordinator of Government and External Affairs. And he's going to walk you through the program that Council of Development Finance Agencies has to support brownfields communities as you're trying to understand funding and financing opportunities for cleanup and redevelopment. So take it away, Malcolm.
Hi. Yeah, thanks, Amy. As Amy mentioned, I'm Malcolm Guy. I'm a coordinator of Government and External Affairs here at CDFA. Along with several of my colleagues, I work on our Brownfields program. I'd like to thank Amy and the EPA for inviting us to present about our program. It would not be possible without their continued support, so we really appreciate that. Just a quick disclaimer before I begin. CDFA doesn't provide legal, accounting, or professional advice. We're not here and engaged in rendering legal, accounting, financial, or other advisory services. We encourage you to seek expert counsel should you need direct advice about any of the subject matter that we talk about. So I just kind of want to really quickly go into, before I talk about our program, what CDFA is, because we often get a lot of questions about what exactly our organization does. CDFA, or the Council of Development Finance Agencies, is a 37-year-old national nonprofit trade association, and we're devoted to providing research, resources, education, and networking opportunities to communities and economic development finance practitioners across the United States. Some of the frequent topics that we cover include bonds, tax increment financing, special assessments, tax credits, revolving loan funds, pretty much the entire gamut of financing tools that are available to communities. About 70% of the people that we work with are from the public sector or quasi-public entities, and about the remaining 30% is private or nonprofit. Now, just a little bit about our program. Our Brownfields Technical Assistant Program is pretty much divided up into four key aspects, and you see those on the screen. Those include the financing toolkit, our webinar series, our project marketplaces, as well as our project response teams. And I'll go into those just a little bit here. So firstly, I'd just like to introduce everyone to our website. This is our Brownfields Technical Assistance Program website. It is different from our main organization website because we really wanted to devote a lot of time and energy to this important technical assistance program. You can go to this website at cdfabrownfields.org, or you can navigate to it through our main website, which is cdfa.net, and then clicking on our Brownfield page. Now, this is the first main aspect of what our Brownfield Technical Assistance Program does, and this is our financing toolkit. So these are our resources, and this is one of the biggest aspects that communities really enjoy being able to take a look at. These are hugely beneficial because they cover pretty much every topic that you could possibly need to know about financing brownfields, whether they be bonds, TIF, federal financing resources, tax credits, revolving loan funds, EB-5, everything in between. We cover pretty much everything. We have a long history of research, and we have an incredible research team, and they are actually on a site visit right now in Minnesota. So they're constantly working, they're constantly finding great projects, ideas, innovative solutions to financing, brownfields redevelopment, and so much more. They really do a great job, and this is one of the big value adds to our Brownfields Technical Assistance Program. Just to give you an example of what these resources look like, if you were to click on the bond resources that you saw on that last page, you can see here, these are all of the different resources. They're all tagged appropriately, so you can find exactly what you're looking for. And this just offers a little bit, a picture into a little bit of the thousands of resources we have. And I mean, this database truly is massive. We have over 8,000 resources in our online resource database, and many of them are devoted to brownfields financing. So I would highly encourage you all to check it out. Now, another aspect to our Brownfields Technical Assistance Program that we offer is our newsletter. We have a monthly, completely free newsletter that you can subscribe to, and it's probably the best way to keep up with Brownfields projects and Brownfields financing methods available in the United States. We aggregate these headlines daily on all topics that we cover, including Brownfields, and then each month we will send you this newsletter. So it's a really good way to kind of keep up with what's going on in the space. The second major tenant to our Brownfields Technical Assistance Program is our webinar series. For the past 5 years, these hyper-specific and really topical webinars we've been producing range from topics including TIF structuring to renewable energy development on contaminated land to food systems financing on brownfields, and everything else in between. Most recently, we actually did a webinar on opportunity zones and brownfield redevelopment and how the two can overlay. So we do a ton of these. They're all available for you to access, so you can go back and watch all of our old ones on our website at cdfabrownfields.org. Now, the third major aspect of our brownfields program is our project marketplaces. These are basically forums that are connectors for communities that are looking to finance their brownfields. This is free technical assistance that is made available to these communities. Anyone who wants to apply is able to apply. We kind of will link up with advisors, and we can do these either in person or online. And essentially, they help communities figure out when they're in their earliest stages how they can get the financing they need to fulfill their desired end use of their brownfield. they can either, as I mentioned, communities can either present online or in person at an event, and they'll get immediate feedback, and they will get some advice on how they can go about financing and redeveloping their specific project. And this is our fourth and probably most powerful and biggest value add of our Brownfields Technical Assistance Program, and those are our project response teams. These are 1 to 2 day visits where we, meaning two CDFA staff and two handpicked expert advisors, will actually go on site to the community, and we will meet with stakeholders, have some really cathartic conversations on what the project is and learn the community perspective. We'll talk about what the community's goals are and find, kind of discover what those are. And after we've toured the site and after we've been through the stakeholder meetings, then we will develop a roadmap to redevelopment report. These reports are extremely beneficial. They provide kind of the next recommendations, the potential funding strategies that communities can seek in order to complete their project. These are really amazing reports. They're roughly 15 to 20 pages, and we've produced many of them over the last 5 years. Importantly, those project response teams are completely free to communities. So these are just some of the sites that we have visited over the last 5 years. Everywhere from Alaska to Florida, we go all across the country. We really enjoy getting to do these, and we found that the conversations that we have are very, very, as I mentioned, cathartic to the communities. When we get everyone in the same room, it really kind of helps these communities put their heads together and figure out what they need to do next. Now, I just want to highlight a couple examples of some of the projects we've done. We did this one just a couple months ago, and this was in Snohomish County, which is just outside of Seattle, northeast of Seattle, near Everett. And essentially, this was like a capped, unregulated landfill. It wasn't being used really well. It was being used as a community park. And so one of their challenges in their community was preserving farmland and providing markets for their farmers. And so we helped provide them with some financing strategies in the report, including GO bonds, federal and state grants that we specified that they might be eligible for, as well as like revolving loan funds, special assessment, TIF, et cetera. That is kind of how the report looked. And essentially, we provide those types of financing strategies in each report. This is an example of another one that we did in Arnoldville, Louisiana. For time's sake, I won't really get into exactly what it was, but you can actually view all of these reports on our website. They're completely free and able for you to view. And they're really, really informational. And as I mentioned, again, these are completely free. So if you're interested in one, you can reach out to one of us on our staff here, and I'll have information at the end. And we can kind of talk and see if it might be something that you might be interested in. These are some of the upcoming events. As I mentioned, we do our project marketplaces. We have an online one on July 25th. We still have some spaces open in it. And also at our national summit in Tampa, Florida on November 7th, we have an in-person project marketplace. So we'll be talking brownfields here for the rest of the year at almost all of our events at CDFA. So if you're interested, you can reach out to any one of my colleagues. Our information is listed on the screen. You can reach out to me, but James and Pearl, who are listed there, they're the main contacts for this program. They're currently on one of those site visits in Minnesota. We also have our summer school that's upcoming here in about a month, and we'll be talking brownfield there. And as I mentioned, we have an in-person project marketplace at our national summit. You can register online there at our website. So I appreciate all of your time, and again, feel free to reach out to any of my colleagues if you should have questions. And with that, I can turn it back to Amy. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Malcolm. Excellent job sharing all the different opportunities that CDFA can bring to brownfield projects. Okay, I am going to now present our last speaker, and then hopefully we'll have a few minutes at the very end to address some of the questions that have come in. So our last speaker today is Heather Ballou, and she is the project coordinator for the Eastern Iowa Community Colleges for the Hazardous Materials Training and Research Institute, HMTRI. supporting communities as they do environmental workforce development and job training for brownfields. So Heather, it's all yours.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. So as Amy mentioned, I am from HMTRI, and the big thing that we do is really we work with a cooperative agreement with the EPA on the Brownfields Initiative to provide that technical assistance to communities that are interested in starting that environmental workforce development and job training program. I'm also going to refer to that as EWDJT just because it's a big, long program, and also then any grantees that have been funded through the EPA. For those of you that may not be familiar with the EWDJT program, the Environmental Workforce Development Job Training grantees recruit, train, and place local, unemployed, and underemployed residents with the skills needed to secure full-time employment in the environmental field. So basically, they're the ones that provide you a trained workforce to work in brownfields conditions. This grant is up to $200,000 that's awarded over a three-year period. Years one and two have ramp up and delivery of courses, and year three would be the ramp down employment and tracking. They just had the fiscal year 20 RFP go out and actually just closed in June, so we're kind of in the long wait, waiting to hear what our newest grantees are going to be for this program. So HMTRI provides capacity building and technical assistance to these EWDJT grantees and prospective grantees through a variety of ways. We have online resources, so we have a great repository for all things workforce related on our website, brownfields-toolbox.org, and we'll explore that a little bit more here later. We also have a professional learning committee, community. So these PLC phone calls, they really allow an opportunity for informal open discussion, presentations, and also grantees to showcase their programs. So we'll talk on that also in just a little bit, but it's a really great way to hear what's going on in the EWDJT community. We host an annual all-grantee meeting, which is another great opportunity for grantees and prospective grantees, regional coordinators, and other EPA folk to come and meet face-to-face to really engage in informative sessions and peer-to-peer learning experiences. We have webinars. We host a yearly webinar every year on topics vary depending on what is relevant to the grantees and prospective grantees. We have newsletters as well that we put out bi-monthly addressing critical issues that, again, are facing the grantees. We have a listserv that we keep that, you know, can allow anybody to ask questions, to get us to be able to gather information, share good news. It's a really great way to sort of talk to the grantees as a community as whole. And then we also provide individual technical assistance when requested. So we also can use that as a learning opportunity, can share that information out to the community if it's needed as well. We have a social media directory. So this is where we scan our grantees and we try to see what type of information we could compile from them. And so one of them is our social media directory. It just allows anybody to really easily and quickly find all the social media associated with the current grantees. Now, for those of you who are thinking I may not necessarily be training people, but I could sure use some trained people to work in the brownfields community, that's where our employee finder might be of interest to you. That's where we get all of our current grantee information, such as contact information, when graduates are available, the core curriculum, the graduate competencies, all of those different things. So that way you could know, there might be somebody in my area that might have some really, really good employees that they're putting out there. And last but not least, we also have our MentorLink program, and that's just where we facilitate peer-to-peer sharing of knowledge and skills between the different grantees. So one of our greatest resources that we have is our toolbox. So this is our website, brownfields-toolbox.org, and that's just a repository of all things workforce related. I'm just going to real quick walk you guys through it so you can see what type of information is readily available on there. When you first open up our website, you'll see a whole bunch of different tabs that are located at the top of the web page. Those will get you to all of our different sections. So the first one is start a program. Let's say you guys thought this sounded kind of interesting and you wanted to explore and learn a little bit more about this EWDJT program and what you would need to do to really start up a program like that in your community. This start a programs tab will really give you an in-depth guide to anybody that's looking to start that type of program. Our next one we have is our download tab. So if you thought that that employee finder might be kind of interesting to see if there's any in your area that have some potential graduates that might be looking for employment, or if you want to download some of our amazing resources like our newest publication, which is the Critical Components and Best Practices, you can find that all under our Downloads tab. We're really excited about this critical components and best practices. It really explores the key components to highly successful programs. So that's a really nice resource that's available on there. If you're interested in starting a program or, again, just trying to see what grantees are around in the area, our locations tab will bring you to a map, and that has all of the various past grantees as well as current grantees listed. So that way, if you wanted to see if anybody was doing this in your area or what might be out there around the nation, you can easily find it in there. It's a really, really great way. And again, remember, you know, if you are coming from more looking for a trained workforce side of things, you know, these graduates are typically walking away with about $5,000 worth of training if you would put a monetary value on it. So they are a really, really great workforce that's out there. Our next tab is Connect News. I'm not going to go into that in general. That's just where we archive all of our past issues of our newsletter that we put out every other month. And then our last section that we're going to explore is just the PLC sessions. So this is where we actually have recordings and notes from all of our past 212 PLC sessions that we've held. And again, to kind of talk about those PLC sessions, these are 30-minute phone calls that we host every 2 weeks. And it started back in 2009. But this, you know, is a really a casual discussion that explores everything an organization needs to create a sustainable environmental workforce development and job training program. The topics are chosen just based off of whatever is relevant to the grantees or prospective grantees based off of where we're at in the grant cycle. In other words, it's things that present grantees are experiencing and prospective grantees might be interested in. It's a mix of open discussion, presentations, and peer-to-peer problem solving. The accompanying notes provide additional details and information that may be of interest to people as well. The PLC calls occur every 2 weeks for 30 minutes, and we always say same time, same place. It's Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and the call-in number is always the same, which is also listed on this slide. I also included the dates for the next PLC sessions. We're actually starting them tomorrow. And if anybody is interested in joining in and just want to hear a little bit more about things, you are more than welcome to come and join us. You can record that information, or you can always send me an email as well, and I can get you into any of those listservs or answer any questions you might have. So I know I kind of went through that stuff a little bit quickly, but if you guys do have any questions, you can pop them up on the Q&A sessions here on this webinar, or you can always reach out to me as well. Amy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you for all of our presenters for your very timely and informative presentations. I'm so impressed by everyone being able to share what you have available and how people can reach out to you. I wanted to just, and there's a couple of questions that came up, so I just wanted to share those briefly. To Kate from Groundwork USA, there was a question that came in about how would I access Groundwork USA if I don't have a local trust in my community?
Thank you for that question. That's a great clarifying one. So we're kind of two separate entities. You can reach out to Groundwork USA for the technical assistance services by emailing me, kate@groundworkusa.org. And we do separate work, but are just sort of queued into the work that's happening at the local level. So it's always really good to have partners and practitioners in the field that have sort of been through this before. So I was just encouraging you folks to, you know, if you have a Groundwork Trust in your community, to reach out and just hear about the brownfield work that they've done. But you do not have to have a local trust in your community in order to get the brownfield technical assistance that we offer for equitable development of your brownfield sites. So if you're interested in getting services, please, or just to talk and see if any of our services are right for you, just give me an email.
Super. Thanks, Kate. Another question that came in, this is from Malcolm at CDFA. Can you give us a sense of about how many project response teams CDF is able to send out each year versus how many people are asking for them?
Yeah, so that's actually a really good question. So right now we are currently looking for two more for the rest of this calendar year. Usually we're able to accommodate about 75% of the communities that propose a site visit. We're usually able to make about 75% of those proposals happen and actually visit that community and produce a roadmap redevelopment report to to that community. And for the remaining 25%, usually the only reason why we decline is because they, as a community, are not ready. That the idea is in such an infancy state that they are, our site visit really would not be a value add yet. So we usually tell them, you know, continue working on it and then get back to us, you know. But yeah, we're only looking for two more for the rest of the year. So if anyone's interested, please go ahead and apply or reach out to me or any of my colleagues and we can talk.
Great. Thanks, Malcolm. Also, just letting folks on the webinar know, we got a couple of people sharing their experiences working with the TAB providers and how they were very helpful to them by using the TAB EZ tools and such, and the TAB providers work to help them get EPA brownfield grants. So that's always good to hear, and I think probably a great testimonial on how they can really help you out. So our intent today was to share a lot of information, and I'm so glad that we did that. We know that you're busy out there working on your brownfields projects and everything else going on. We didn't want to overwhelm you, but we did want you to know that there is so much help that is out there, and it is free. It is free to you because EPA pays these organizations through grants to help you. You also need to know that you don't have to choose just one technical assistance provider to work with. You can reach out to all of these organizations as needed, especially if you don't exactly know what you need and where you're at in the project. These are experts who have a lot of familiarity with brownfield cleanup and redevelopment, and their job is to help you kind of get on the right path for getting a successful project. So I invite you to please, after this call, the slides are available on CLUIN. The session is recorded on CLUIN, so everything that you heard today, you can go back and take a look at. You can also always contact your EPA rep in the region and get some more information about kind of where to start. But we're so pleased that these speakers were able to tell you about their programs, and we hope very much that you will reach out to them. So with that, we are right at noon. I didn't have any other questions that came in. Do any of our speakers have any last thoughts or comments to share with our audience?
This is Blaze with the TAB program. I'll just tag in and with Amy and say really encourage you to reach out to any of us. We do work together. We refer cases to each other and even work on some together at the same time. So please don't be bashful.
And yeah, this is Malcolm with CDFA. Just kind of adding on that, we definitely do work with each other. All three of the TAB providers, HMTRI, and HMTRI, we all work together. Most recently, in our most recent site visit in Troy, New York, we actually had the other TAB provider, CCLR, with us. And we've done stuff with NGIT and KSU TAB before. So this is a tremendous group of resources for you all, and I definitely encourage you to take advantage of it.
Great. Thank you. Okay, with that, Jean, I'm going to turn it back over to you for any closing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Let me just walk through a few quick final reminders before we officially close out today's live broadcast. We want to thank the nearly 110 individuals who joined us from across the U.S. for today's live broadcast. And I'll just remind everyone that copies of the presentation material are already posted on the seminar resources page. So you can find that if you look on the far middle right of your screen under related URL. You'll see a series of websites. If you click on the one that says Seminar Resources and then press the Browse To button, that will open up that website where you can access the materials. You'll also find contact information and other items for today's session on that same page. If you could each take just a brief moment and fill out our online feedback form, please know that we read each and every one of those submissions, and it does help us to continue to offer free webinars like this. For those of you looking for credits or certificates, once you send in the online feedback form, you'll immediately have access to a participation certificate that looks something like the sample on the screen. While we don't issue CEUs or PDHs, oftentimes our participants can take the materials and the registration email along with the certificate to document their attendance and get credit with their own accrediting institution. So if you participated in a group, each person can also follow the link to the seminar feedback form and fill that out on their own, whether they registered individually or not. Just make sure that when you're filling out the form, you check the box at the very bottom to certify you were here for the whole thing. Otherwise, the certificate won't be generated if you don't check that box. And so with that, I'll go ahead and just thank everybody once again for joining us today, and we'll go ahead and formally close out today's live broadcast. This will be the formal conclusion.